Hi everyone, this is Camden Busey. Before we begin today's episode, I want to invite you to join us in person at four upcoming events. First, on August 4th and 5th, Carlton Wynn and I will be at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary near Greenville, South Carolina, for their summer seminar, where we will deliver a series of lectures on apologetics and evangelism for the pastor. Then, August 28th and 29th, we're heading to Birmingham, Alabama, for a seminar at Cahaba Park Presbyterian Church called Discovering Christ in All of Scripture. This is a Friday evening and Saturday morning, exploring how every part of the Bible reveals God's redemptive plan in Jesus Christ. On September 25th and 26th, we'll host our annual theology conference at Lakeland Church in Gurnee, Illinois. This year's theme is the covenant of grace, one Savior, one people, one purpose. And we're delighted to welcome Dr. G.K. Beale and Dr. Marcus Minninger as speakers. Early bird pricing ends August 31st, so register soon. And then mark your calendars for February 19th and 20th, 2027, when we'll celebrate the 1,000th consecutive episode of Christ the Center. We'll host this in Austin, Texas. There'll be a live recording, a shared dinner, and conversations with longtime friends of Reformed Forum at the Hilton Austin downtown. Seats for each of these events are limited, but more information and registration is available at reformedforum.org/events. We'd love to see you there. Now on to our episode.
Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 349. Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Turillo. I serve as pastor of Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Countryside, Illinois. And with me as, Rob's not here. Today we have a couple of special guests from the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central and Eastern Europe. So brothers from the Hungarian-speaking church. And their names, I'll let them introduce themselves as they get on the mic here in just a second. What we're going to do today is just to sort of catch up on some things going on in the Hungarian church, as well as maybe some of the things from a recent summit that the OPC did here in Wheaton. So first of all, Imre, if you would introduce yourself and then Akos, if you would introduce yourself and then tell us like why you're here, like what took you, why did you fly 2,000 miles to come to the Chicagoland area? Imre.
Hello there. Thank you, Bob, for inviting us to this podcast. My name is Imre Szőke. I'm a pastor in Miskolc. Miskolc is the third largest city in Hungary, and I'm a pastor in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central and Eastern Europe. We basically came to Chicago and to Wheaton College to attend this diaconal summit organized by the OPC. So that was the main reason. Meanwhile, we were able to meet with some of our brothers and friends in the Lord. So it was a very uplifting experience to spend a week in the Chicago area.
And Akos, why are you here? Same reason?
So hello everyone, I'm Akos from Hungary. For same reason, and maybe you don't know that I am the first ever ordained deacon in Hungary. So I was looking for knowledge and wisdom from the other deacons, and so sometimes I was feeling alone at my home, and of course I have a close relationship with my elders, but they are not deacons, but we have a...
Tell us just a little bit about that, because the idea that you would be the first ordained Hungarian-born, Hungarian-speaking deacon would probably surprise a lot of our listeners if they are from especially a Presbyterian background, which, you know, we have a variety of different listeners. How in the world does a church that actually has the name Reform, you know, the Hungarian Reformed Church, not have deacons?
Well, that's an interesting historical issue, especially this matter of church government in Hungary is at stake. That was one primary reason why our new church was established, because the old historic Reformed Church had and still has some problems in this issue of church government. Mm-hmm. Among other things, it has an episcopal system, so they still have bishops to this very day, and they ordained their elders, ruling elders, just around 200 years after the Reformation, and to this very day, the office of deacon is not really in place, so they don't have deacons as officers ordained. So it's missing.
Okay, so the Reformed Church of Hungary came about during the Reformation, right? Hence the word Reformed. But the government like that we're used to, that came out of Geneva, Presbyterianism, which made it to Scotland and other parts. That the Reformed theology went to Hungary, but not any of the government. And you said elders didn't come about for 200 years?
Yeah, after the Reformation, wow. Yes. So the theology was more or less okay, and they adopted the good confessions. I'm talking about the historical church, the Second Helvetic Confession and the Heidelberg Catechism. But the in this matter of church government, things were not really according to the biblical standards. So there was a lack in ordaining the deacons. Mm-hmm. So no deacons up to this very day in the Reformed churches.
Right. And so when you guys broke off of the Reformed, which officially was 1998 was kind of the beginnings. And then you started to try to bring things into biblical theology as well as having a biblical church government. Was it obvious that you were missing deacons right from the beginning? Or was it something like, you were like, wait a minute, they have this thing called deacons. What are they?
Well, in the beginning, it was not obvious. In the beginning, we were focusing on just planting the churches. And later, we started ordaining elders. And later, we observed by meeting with other sound denominations overseas and abroad that they have deacons. So it was not in our primary focus to ordain deacons. So we are catching up with this office, so to speak. And still, we don't have deacons in all of the congregations. So Ákos is the first deacon who was born in Hungary and ordained in Hungary since the Reformation.
Wow! I mean, and that's a few years.
Yeah, a few years.
So you got a lot of catching up to do, Ákos.
Yeah. So I feel this.
You have a little pressure.
Yeah, a little pressure on mine. Yeah.
And so just for our listeners who are unfamiliar, the OPC, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, through our denominational diaconal committee, which is, diaconal, it's our Ministry of Mercy, does have every 4 years what we call a diaconal summit. And this year, I think it was 253 deacons and some others, registrants that came to Wheaton College, that's a central location for the nation, in order to have workshops and learn from one another. And so you guys came all that way, a pastor and the deacon, in order to learn and network, so to speak, or get to know other deacons so you can sort of have ongoing conversations. Was it worthwhile? I mean, are you glad you came?
Yeah, so, so the conference was really good for me. It means that maybe I have three takeaway for myself. Mm-hmm. So the first one is the joy itself. So it means that sometimes I lost my joy, in my office and in my service. I just did what I did. I mean, which was necessary to do. Mm-hmm. And in this conference, maybe the first presentation was about the. What the joy is, and one of the highlighted takeaways, the joy itself.
Yeah, excellent. And that's not just something that a deacon might lose some of the joy. Pastors have a hard, you know, can lose the joy. You can feel burned out. You can feel just overly pressured. And you have, you know, for pastors, you have every week, you got to get a sermon done, you know, or two. And then the pastoral work that goes along with that. Elders as well have. So losing that joy, it was one of the topics. Was it an overall theme of the conference or just that one talk?
That was just one talk, okay. As I remember, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So that was your first takeaway?
Yeah.
You had some more?
Yeah, the second one is that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
So that was a really big, to see the others, mm-hmm. who is, I really feel as, okay, I am one of these members. So it was really cool to see it. And I made many new connections and I want to connect them and in the future.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have people you can reach out to if there's situations that you might need, you know, just to think through something.
Yeah. So my plan is to send some time to time a praying letter to, mm-hmm. to them.
To different folk in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got different contact information through the conference, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Good. And I was going to ask Imre if you, as pastor to Akos and seeing him work through these things and coming alongside and helping him, is there a particular takeaway that you had? He said we've seen the first two from Akos that you've had from the conference or from the workshop that that might be helpful for pastors to know with regard to their deacons.
Well, it's hard to pick up one topic, but I had several which I really found very helpful, and one was the diaconal evangelism. Mm. That was a
Eric Watkins,
yes, he was the speaker, and also how to relate to the elderly, to our parents. We have some older folks in our
Brian
church.
DeYoung.
Brian DeYoung, he was the speaker, and there was also one session on addictions and how to deal with that difficulty, to understand it and better. So we have needs also in Hungary, and these lectures addressed those needs. So I was very thankful. We don't want to reinvent the wheel, so it's always better to come and learn from others who had more experience. And and the diaconate, as I've told you, it's a new thing in Hungary.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of responsibility on Akos' shoulders. We hope to ordain more deacons, and we hope to even use these materials and also the lectures from the previous conferences, which are on YouTube, and maybe train our deacons by watching and discussing those themes at home. So it's hard to pick up one thing.
Hearing from Akos is great, and hearing from you though, it's slightly different perspective as sort of a man with many years in ministry, and Akos relatively young comparatively speaking, and in a new office. Just want to get a sense of sort of the how you're thinking about it and how you're thinking about it.
We have to encourage each other and help each other. And of course, he's younger. Yeah. I've been in the ministry for almost 30 years. Yeah. And this conference was even for me very refreshing. And I think I've told you that it's always a blessing just to be together with 200, 300 other men or listening or singing just interacting with them. And I've got to know a few new guys, and I had a chance to talk with them and discuss various difficult issues, but also just to get to know them as brothers in Christ,
and
invite them to Hungary.
That's right, that's and invite them as you invite everyone you meet.
It's one thing to, we talk about the church and the ministry, and it's something else to come and see it with your own eyes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a part we'll get to after we get the third takeaway from Akos, because we do want to hear, you know, you're coming and you're getting encouraged by the 200 plus other men that you're hanging out with. And that's a lot has to do with because you're part of a very small denomination.
That's right.
And so you can feel quite alone, you know, in a city, the third largest city, like we're in the third largest city here in Chicagoland, you're in the third largest city of Hungary. And yet there's just, you know, one church that you're associated with there. So, Akos, what was the last takeaway that you had for the diaconal summit?
Yeah, the third is that the little things matter.
Ah, yes.
It means that I want to build trust, my being faithful in small things and following through on what I say I will do, rather than losing people's trust. So I want to strengthen trust and build meaningful relationships. So in this way, I will be able to uncover hidden diaconal needs over time and involve others in the joyful work of diaconal ministry.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. That's a wonderful way to think about it. And building those relationships, so it takes time, right?
Yes.
And I don't think I've actually asked you this yet. How long have you been a deacon, an ordained deacon?
4 years.
4 years now. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So your early 30s, essentially, when you when you were ordained. Okay. And so he is a lot younger than us, isn't he? Serving and bringing the mercy of Christ, right? In our context, at least, and you might have a similar. We kind of minister of the word, the pastor, word, sacrament, and prayer, the elder rule, shepherding, governance, the deacon, mercy of Christ, helping with temporal needs and physical needs, but there's a spiritual element to each of those aspects because we're whole people, right? And so I'm really thankful for our church, meaning the OPC, and for you guys, which we're going to hear about in a second. But that we had brothers that are willing to organize such an event that, and it's not just for us, our own small group of people, but that we can include brothers from ICRC, that's for our listeners, that's the International Conference of Reformed Churches, and have them come. And we had some come from NAPARC as well, the North American Presbyterian and Reformed Conference or Council, and have you guys all kind of mingle together and learn from one another and encourage one another. I'm just really thankful to know that we do that. And it's just a good thing. So you were encouraged, Imre, because, well, for many reasons, but one of them was the fellowship. And so tell us a little bit about the church that you're a part of. We've gotten the name, we know it's in Hungary, but it's elsewhere as well, a little beyond Hungary. And we don't need to go in the whole history that you told the church yesterday, which was short in and of itself, but just some of the stuff that, how you came about and, and what kind of ministry does the church have now? Right. And you can fill in anytime, Akos. Don't let your pastor just take over.
So our name is very impressive, but at the same time misleading because it's a long name, the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central Eastern Europe. But we had to come up with a name because our churches are spread out in a bigger geographical area. So that is to say in three countries, in Hungary, a western part of Romania, which is called also Transylvania, and the southern part of Ukraine. And we are working primarily among ethnic Hungarians, but we do have a church with Romanian ethnics in Cluj, in Napoca, in Transylvania. So the church has a big name, but it's a very small denomination. We are just 25 years old, and we have just 15 pastors in the whole denomination, five in Hungary, nine in Romania, and one in Ukraine at the moment. So we started these churches in 1998. As you mentioned previously, we were in the State Reformed Church, but we left that denomination, and we had to start the church planting from ground zero. Mm-hmm. So it took us a lot of time, especially we had to wait until we had enough men and biblically qualified men to be ordained as ruling elders and deacons, mm-hmm. and also it took us time to organize two presbyteries. So it's a new denomination. Yeah. So I'm still very young. In fact, just this in May we had our 9th General Assembly. So that tells you something. Yeah. If you have not the 9th yet, but the 9th, yeah. 9 General Assemblies. So where we had delegates mm-hmm. from sister churches as well, including delegates from the OPC. Mm-hmm. So the primary focus is on planting the churches, but of course, as the work grows, then there are new needs and diaconical needs. Also, we are trying to do various sorts of outreaches, so to reach out to people who are unchurched, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So we have ministries with gypsies. Also, we have various camps in 3 countries. Among other things, we have English camps where we are trying to reach out to younger people who are coming to these camps, and we are teaching the Bible in English. Mm-hmm. And for these camps, we are always inviting native speakers, mostly from the United States. Yeah. And here I can mention that next week I will have a group coming from the OPC, 6 or 7 persons, and we'll have a camp in Miskolc, and then after that one, the same camp with the same program in Balaton Almaty. Yeah. So we are trying to organize various lectures to reach to the people. But Hungary, as Europe in general, is very apathetic to the gospel. Mm. So the society is very secularized, and I think the other evangelistic ways, which works more or less, would be the friendship evangelism, personal evangelism. Yeah. You can't organize a big evangelistic service and advertise it. You know, no one would come unless someone is inviting someone personally and has a personal contact with that person. So, and of course, the church has other ministries. We have a small publishing house, and we are publishing good, solid reform books. So we had published around 40 titles, mm-hmm. and bigger books and various booklets as well. And that's, I think, an important issue.
Yeah, those are mostly translations.
We have a few booklets which mm-hmm. are written by Hungarians, but are mostly translations. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything to add to that, Alkosh?
Yeah. So maybe the training itself. It was a new knowledge for me to have a training time for the deacons, mm-hmm. which means end of the training you are able to decide that do you want this deacon office or not, mm-hmm. because that was a new thing for the other men,
yes.
who are not able to figure out that what is this. Then I can tell them to we have a training time, yeah. and just try it.
Yeah, and you know, we're obviously an older denomination, but we, you know, we had a starting as well, and first was home missions. That was the first committee that was formed when we started, and as you mentioned, home missions or planting churches is on the forefront. But as you're realizing, Christian education is also needful, right? Training new ministers, training elders. That's like all a part of the process of continuing to grow and maintain that. And so, but when you're small, that's hard to do because you have limited resources and you have people getting very tired and such. So that sounds like a big matter for a prayer point for your church. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to add in this matter of the ministries we do, that in the last 4 years, especially in Miskolc, we had a large ministry toward with the Ukrainian refugees, war refugees. Yes. So we try to help them in many ways. As a matter of fact, just this past Saturday, we had an evangelistic service organized for them. We invited the Ukrainian pastor, so they heard the gospel in their native mm-hmm. language, and after the service, we distributed some food packages. Mm-hmm. So word and deed went together, so we are trying to help even Ukrainians. And we still have about 200 families in Miskolc, and we have contact with those families.
Okay.
So that's one big ministry, at least in comparison with the size of our congregation.
Yeah, well, that is huge. I mean, caring and providing, or helping to provide for so many people that have gone through so much, you know, a country at war. And I know that, you know, across the world in different ways, you know, churches have tried to help, and we've tried to help as well. I think we've sent not just our local church, but our church, the PCA. We've sent things over. I think they organized it as Crates for Ukraine at one time. I don't know if that's an ongoing thing or if that's still going on or not. But that's got to be time consuming. It's got to be, you know, a really hard ministry. And so just logistically, right now, you said you had 200 families or so living somewhere in Miskolc, and you have some type of contact with them, and where you can invite them to a service of some sort. Okay. And then provide some type of food relief for them. That's great. What's the hope for the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Central and Eastern Europe? It's so hard to get out. The RPCCEE. What do you have by way of your thoughts and hopes for the next I don't know, 10, 15, 20 years?
Well, our hope is in the Lord.
Of course.
This is His church, so we have to rely on Him, but... One big challenge would be for us. I think I mentioned this to you, that to have enough pastors in 10 years to replace the current pastors, and of course, if we have enough pastors and missionaries, then one vision is to send other church planting missionaries in the bigger cities in Hungary or even in Transylvania. That would be a long term vision, but for that, of course, we need enough qualified men to do that, and because that was the policy of Apostle Paul, going to the main cities and and try to establish their local churches.
Yeah, and so, you know, for our listeners, one of the reasons we haven't posted in quite a while is just due to my schedule. So I've been at 3 synods or general assemblies over the past month and a half or so, and one of the constant themes. Is we need more pastors. We need more men who want to go into the ministry. And it's not just then, you can just heard it, it's not just American. It's Hungarian, I'm sure, you know, other places throughout Europe and throughout the world that are in need of men to serve as pastors. But then, of course, you're going to need them to serve as elders and deacons as well. So keep that as a constant matter of prayer wherever you are. And if you're, if perchance you are a Hungarian... And you know how to speak Hungarian, and you have an inclination to go to your home country or live there already, they can use you. They can use you in the pew. They can use you to get a seminary degree and become a pastor, so, or an elder or a deacon. And if anyone, perchance, wanted to reach out to you, get in touch, or go on a, well, I know how to direct them to get to a short-term missions trip, but I don't want you to give out your personal contact information, but is there a contact information on the website for the church?
Well, the church or for the seminary, it's a Presbyterian seminary in Budapest. So if they can Google that and they can contact the seminary.
Okay. The Presbyterian seminary in Budapest.
And for the church, well, we have a webpage, you know, in Hungarian.
Yeah. It's also in English. I've read it.
Yeah, English, but the Hungarian is better. The English is also, we have to catch up with the English part. You know, some of the materials are not up to date.
Okay.
But the Hungarian part is still, it's presbyterianus.hu, Hungary.
Say that a little closer to the mic.
Presbyterianus.hu.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. That's the website, for the church.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. And let's see. I'm trying to think if are there any other matters, prayer points as pastors, training of them, and things of that nature.
Well, of course, this would be the main or the long term need. Of course, there are other issues. Not all of our churches are able to support themselves. Mm. You know, that's another big thing in Hungary, because in the state Reformed Church is helped very much by the government, but our churches are not depending from the government. So the churches in Hungary are able to support themselves, which is a new thing from Hungary. I know it's very commonplace for you in the States, but it's a new thing. But the churches in Romania, they are not able to support themselves. So I don't have the figures, but in some cases they are able just to support 50 or 60% themselves. So then they are getting help by organizations from abroad.
Yeah, okay. So
so we have some financial needs.
Challenges,
mostly
in
Transylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that, so you said it's common to us, right, to hear that churches are self-supporting, but it's not common for us to hear that churches are supported by the state, right? Yeah. That would be a big no-no in America to have tax dollars go. So the tax dollars go to the state reform church. Go. They also go to did you say the Catholic and Lutheran?
The main historic denominations.
Yeah. Okay, the historic Catholic denominations.
Lutherans, Reformed, yes.
Okay.
And maybe nowadays even the Baptist churches, they get some subsidies. I'm not sure about that.
But if given money by the state, then they have to follow the state's rules for the most part?
But you see, not the rules, but there are certain unwritten expectations, I would say, to put it politely. I mean...
Okay. You need to be polite. That's very good. So next week you have a group from the OPC coming in for short-term missions. For anyone who is not yet gone and listening, that might be listening to this, what types of things do you do on a short-term mission trip to Hungary? And because there might be someone out there say, "Oh, I thought about doing that, but I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to do it." How would you convince someone to want to come?
Well, first of all, I would say that it won't be difficult for any American to come over, because you don't have to be a teacher or have any experience in teaching children. Mm-hmm. The only requirement is to speak English, and I think that's
not... We got that down.
You get that one. and we have already pre-prepared materials, so we are using various Bible studies for each camp. So, for example, the life of Elijah, or the life of David, or life of Jesus, or so various stories, the life of Abraham, and then we are covering that in a week. But the main issue is on interaction. So just talk with the attendees, and the lessons are from 9 to 1 o'clock. So just 4 or 5 hours each week. From Monday to Friday.
Okay.
And one other incentive would be that this is not the only program. Those who come over, always they come three days earlier. So we have 2 or 3 days to do some sightseeing and travel around, and you will get an impression about Hungary, mm-hmm. not only Budapest, but also the rural areas and the less known areas mm-hmm. of Hungary, which are still, I think, intriguing and interesting, some historical castles and wineries and other things. I can't disclose everything.
Well, I can only say, so most of the listeners that are regular at least know that I was there last October, so visiting my son who was studying in Budapest, and attended one of the RPCCEE churches in Budapest with Pastor Peter Szabo. And so we did get to go up to Miskolc, and my wife and I and my son, we did get to go to some of the rural areas, and we got to go to one of the castles that Imre loves to show off, and eat a delicious meal in one of those castles, which was absolutely fantastic. So it might not be a country that's high on our listeners' lists of places to go at, like, oh, you know, France or Hungary. I'd actually choose Hungary. I would. I think it's a beautiful... It's beautiful. Yeah. We got to go down to the Balaton. Yeah. We went by Almaty. We didn't stop in Balaton Almaty. Yeah. We went to... Is it called Balaton Tihanye? Is that what it would be called?
Tihanye.
And it was beautiful. And the Balaton is a lake district, essentially, with a beautiful... The largest lake in Central Europe, right? And a vacation area, and it's gorgeous. We were there in the fall, and it was still gorgeous. And the summertime, it's got to be full of people, packed, and all that kind of stuff. So if anyone has any desire to visit for a service trip, you can go, and you're going to go to opc.org, and you can find out about the short-term missions there. And this, obviously, next week is all packed up. People are ready to go, and the leaders are all set. But I'm sure the next year, they'll be ready for more people. I think they usually take up to 10 or so. No,
up
no, not
eight,
that far.
Eight?
No, okay, I'm getting the, you know, nix it, Bob. You're going too much, too high here.
Two cars, 8 people, 2 cars.
So I've just had a thoroughly enjoyable time this past week. So you guys were here for the conference, the summit, the diaconal summit, which was just 3 days or 2.5 days or so. But you came in early, and we had the pleasure then of hosting you at my home. Sarah, I think, did a great job, especially since I got sick and wasn't able to be as present with you as I would have liked. But it's been an absolute joy to get to know you guys just a little bit better, however much you can get to know someone in a week or so. So just thanks so much for the ministry. Thanks for updating us. Thanks for preaching at our church yesterday. Thanks for just, you know, hanging out with my kids, Akos especially, yeah. and just really enjoying the time with you you've had. And I hope someone listening does get a chance to come out and visit with you guys and say, hey, I heard you first on Theology Simply Profound. Yes.
Well, thank you for your hospitality, and it was a great privilege to be here and attend both the conference and also the other programs. And yes, please do come and visit us in Hungary if possible. And that is you have one advantage if you come to Hungary in comparing with France. You'll find more Reformed churches. Reformed churches. But probably there are a few in France, but it's hard to find them.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, and me too. I thank you for the opportunity to being here, and I really enjoyed your family, the time with you and your son and daughter. So I will give lots of joy to home.
Well, thanks again for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. That was a word from some good friends, good brothers in Hungary. Well, they were here actually in Studio B, but from Hungary. And as always, you can find us at reformforum.org. If you want to check out the congregation that Rob and I serve, you can go to westminsteropc.org. And next time, when Rob and I get to record, we'll continue our series on the Book of Daniel. So once again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.